Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Hey, and welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm joined today by John Levine.
Hey, it's John Levine.
From our studios in Atlanta, who John and I got to actually work together in Cumberland, Maryland last week. And, you know, the only part that I wish was a little better is that there was a host.
Yeah,
there was a host, and it was
let's say there was a guy who announced our names.
Right,
I should say that.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to give the impression that he went up and did like 5 to 7 minutes and took a bullet.
Yeah, no.
You know, but you know, good guy, radio guy. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. And he was. I guess he's there on a. You know, I guess they have a couple. It's the thing of a comedy. If a venue doesn't have comedy in the scene. If there's not like a local comedy scene where people can just show up and host, you know, they usually get some local radio guy. Hey, who can we get to host? Oh, let's get a radio guy. They think that they appear to be funny. So,
I would almost think like in that scenario, I mean, either A, they let you know that, and then they give you the option of maybe you find a host, because I'm sure, you know, you could probably put it out there that, hey, you know, to the local comedy scene in Maryland, hey, we're looking for a host or Southern PA, you know. And get somebody over there to at least take a bullet, you know, do 5-7 minutes.
Yeah, I imagine that falls on, you know, ultimately in that case, Bonkers would have to agree to that, and maybe they have a control issue.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah,
which you know, I don't know if I've shared this before, but speaking of control issues, I just want to make it clear because I book the Tavolino's Wise Guys comedy show every week at Tavolino's, and you know, usually when I go out, you know, I'll go out somewhere. Like I went to an open mic. I'll talk about. People ask me, you know, for spots. So, you know, last week in particular, Ed from Tavolino's, the owner, who pays the bills, and who's basically our continuity is predicated on his happiness. Would you agree?
Was that rhetorical, or are you asking me that?
Well, you could answer. You're a co-host.
Oh, yeah.
It's your choice.
I mean, that makes sense.
So, you know, he's been a little concerned or unimpressed by some of our opening acts. And, you know, in all defense, I'm like, hey, Ed, you know, listen, because he even tells me, he's like, we got to keep the show going. I'm like, it's got to get going to keep going. So as the host, you know, I got to get them in a rhythm where they're hearing, they're listening, and then like there's moments I purposely will stop, you know, in the middle of a joke. I just won't say anything just to hear if I start hearing cackling and people, blah, 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 I know I'm not going to hand it off.
Right.
You know, I want the room to be moving. You know, we're talking about a host in our show. That guy when we were in Rocky Gap Casino, the guy goes up, hey everybody, we got a few cover bands. We got a cover band that's going to be a Warrant cover band and this and that. Come out and that's great and. And then he completely screwed up my fucking intro. I mean, I gave him the intro, wrote it down, and he just did it completely opposite of or an in-between and different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember that.
I think I ran out to grab a drink.
Oh, well, basically, all right, again, I don't want to, you know, comedy 101, but when you host a show, basically when you're going to do somebody, your next comedian come to the stage, he's been seen on this and he's done this, and by all means, put your hands together for Bill Smith, everybody. Or not even that, Bill Smith. That's it. But in this case, it was like, hey, everybody, you're our comic for the evening, Dougie Almeida. Yeah, he's been in the World Series of Comedy. He's seen on Jimmy Kimmel a lot, the Late Show. And I'm like, you just said my name. And like, it's a complete opposite of how you were introduced. Right. You give somebody their credits and whatever you're going to say, and then the name. So he,
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much experience that guy has with hosting a show.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been worse. He could have not been there. Actually, that would have been better, because then you could have just went up and did some quick things and then added time. You know what I mean? Like, just like do,
right.
Just do, don't even do, just kind of like have fun opening up and maybe take that opportunity to just get to know the crowd and go over some house rules.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you remember, but when the first thing out of my mouth was like, hey, we got a great show for you tonight. Dougie Almeida's here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I almost kind of fell into that hosting role.
Yeah, exactly. So that was fun. It was a nice place.
Definitely. I had a great time. And it was a good show,
Yeah, a lot of people. And it worked out good because I sold merch. Yeah, I sold a few shirts.
Yeah, you did. What'd you sell, like five or six shirts?
Yeah. Yeah, I paid the rental car.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. So then I guess on, you got up early. I contacted you in the morning on Friday to see if I'm not a breakfast guy, but we had a nice.
You contacted me at noon.
Yeah. And I didn't know if you're still there.
Yeah.
But you had driven. Now, I don't know how your drive was. Well, actually, here's the one thing I'm going to just share. One of the things, there was a moment in time in this trip where I was like, shit, because I had a drive basically about 5.5 hours from West Virginia back to Baltimore Airport on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly tell you that there was a moment in time where I was sitting there looking at it. So I was sleeping in this cabin, really nice cabin from where the West Virginia gig was for Comedy Zone. And I kept thinking, shit, I got to drive 5.5 hours to get on a plane, actually hang around an airport for 2 or 3 hours to get on a plane for 2.5 hours to go home. remind me why I'm doing this. And of course, it's all for the laughter. So,
yeah.
What a very scenic drive. I mean, you went back to Dulles. Did you deal with any protesters? Did you have to run anybody over or anybody stop you on your way?
No, I didn't see anything. There was no traffic either, which was not, I was kind of concerned with that. Like, there was going to be some road closures or, something along those lines, but there wasn't. And then
detours.
What's that?
Or detours of some sort. Or
right. Yeah, exactly. But there was none of that. And the airport was dead. I mean, it was because I was there probably at like 1:30, 2 o'clock, and I flew out at 4:00. And my flight was only like half full. So,
yeah, I noticed that mine too. And I finally flew home from, when I flew home, it was like 150 seats on Southwest. It was like 80 people.
Yeah.
So for Southwest flight, when you got to get your own seat, which, by the way, I'm reaching out for them for sponsorship because I'd like them to be the airline of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Can't mm-hmm. go wrong. $15 early bird check-in automatically on each flight. Can't go wrong with that. You end up walking on a plane with your stuff and you have the whole plane to figure out pretty much, except for maybe 8 or 9 seats. So, best way to go.
I flew them for this trip. I hadn't flown them in a long time, and it was good. It was fine. I don't like the pick your own seat deal, to be honest.
Well,
I did the early bird. I mean, I was the 22nd person on the flight and the 23rd on the one coming home. But to me, it's like I don't want to have to go and it's okay. Well, is the emergency exit row and is not, or I just give me my fucking seat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's why, you could see that's part of being a liberal and a Democrat. You want like the government or somebody to tell you what to do. Otherwise you just don't feel right making a choice. But I understand. Listen, I had the same.
I want to choose my seat beforehand and be able to see where I want to sit. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
It's like saying Democrats are idiots because they make restaurant reservations. I mean, come on. That's so fucking stupid.
Well, listen, don't get personal.
Really?
Yeah.
I was talking about an airline flight and you brought up politics.
Yeah, but I didn't call you stupid, did I? So
you said your analogy was stupid.
Okay. If you want to disassociate those two all of a sudden to make it more justifiable, you know, but to me, I what I was saying to you is like, at first, that's why I had a reluctance to Southwest. Cause I'm like, you know, I didn't want to wait in line. I didn't want to go through that process. You know what I mean? That was discouraging. But again, with the early bird, knowing that you're in the A's, and you generally they leave 10 or so extra anyway for people that want to upgrade, that once they get there, they'll pay extra, you know, to give them another chance. So like on the flight home, I was number 22 and there was only two or three people ahead of me. So there's basically 10 that they try to slot out and sell it at the gate, you know, for the most part. But, you know, so yeah. So, but when I walk in, I got a choice. I've got four or five rows of window aisle or middle seats. You know what I mean?
Right, but that's your only choice. See, like, if you fly American, let's say, and you want to pay a little bit more to upgrade your seat for extra legroom, or you want to pay to sit in the emergency exit row, so you have those options.
So you have, so
with
basically,
with Southwest, you don't.
So you basically,
it's like you either get the emergency exit row or you get an aisle seat, and it's all the same.
Right. There's no real variance in seating. It's basically all the same. But, you know, not being an NBA basketball player, I'm not too disappointed with my regular space, you know.
It's not bad until the guy ahead of you fucking reclines his seat into your lap.
That doesn't happen. Your seat must have been broken. Or the guy, his seat must have. We did the show. It was great. We had a fun. There was a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers fans there who they were happy that night. Obviously not now.
Yeah.
But your team won. You moved to Atlanta, and then you think that you've given them such good fortune. Now they're in the Super Bowl.
Well, I was being a little facetious with that.
Well, I know. It's not like, you know. So, and that's got to be cool. And they kicked the shit out of them. I mean, the one thing about these games this weekend, it was just all one-sided, which sucked.
Well, it didn't, because that's going to make for a really good Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Because you got two teams that kicked the shit out of the people that they you know, beat. So, and now they're facing each other.
Yeah, and right. Yeah, but as of yesterday, when you go to a place like a sports bar, my wife and I went to Brew's Room, you had to watch, and you're sitting there, and the first game was completely one-sided. You're like, oh, yeah, I guess I won't stick around to eat more wings later. Let's go home. You know, there's nothing here, nothing to see here.
So basically what you're saying is you finally found something that could get you to stop eating wings?
Yeah, like bad football. You know, listen, that should be a new diet. Just have bad football. Just show like old football, shitty football games from fucking back in the 70s with teams that didn't matter then. So yeah, it's too bad for the Steelers. So then, you know, I get up Friday, I hang around, I stick around, and there were some people that were there at the restaurant at Rocky Gap that went to the show, and they're like, "Boy, you were funny, but that fucking guy with the jacket," I'm like it.
Actually, somebody did come up to me at the restaurant when I was eating breakfast.
Yeah, they seem, and there are a lot of regulars.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And it was older, younger?
Who, the people that came up to you,
yeah,
or the mix of the crowd?
No, the people that, the person that came up to you.
Oh, well, I don't think there was any younger people there. I mean, it was a little bit older.
Yeah, there was a lot of older people there. And it's always interesting.
Yeah, I was getting in the elevator going back up to my room after breakfast, and this woman was like standing in the elevator door opens, and she's like standing there. So,
right.
And, you know, the restaurant's on the first floor. So I was like kind of waiting for her to come out.
Right.
And she's like, "I can't figure this out." And I'm like, you know, like, "Hey, you put your key card in there to get up to the upper rooms, you know?"
Yeah, because those elevators. Because the elevators, you needed to put your key in there to get in.
Right.
Or press the button. I'm sitting there for like 2 minutes pressing the fucking button. Like, what's the issue?
Well, that's what she was doing. She's like, I put my card in there, and then I like kind of, I walk in the elevator, and I smell it. She reeks like booze. I mean, reeks. And I had breakfast at 9:15 in the morning, 9:30.
Yeah.
I mean, this, we're not talking about it at night. And I was like, oh, and I just kind of slid the card in there and hit the button. I'm like, "What floor?" And she's like, "4. I'm going where you are." And I'm like, "Okay, awesome. This will be fun."
Yeah.
But nice. She fucking stumbled out of an elevator, boy. And she's like, "I hope you win today." And I'm like, "Yeah, you too. Don't drive."
When? Would you have a football shirt on?
No, I guess she was talking about gambling.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, I forgot. We're in a casino. I didn't go in there because the last time I was there, the blackjack dealers or the pit boss made me give back $20 because the doofus-ass fucking blackjack dealer kept screwing up. And they, you know, so I'm like, you know. Meanwhile, I'm down. I've got like $400 in chips in front of me, and this pit boss wants to get $20 back from me. I'm like, dude, we're at a casino. Haven't you got enough for me already? I mean, you know, are you really going to go after the $20? Let's go up to the top and see the video that you're talking about. Listen, I don't have time for that. If it's really worth $20 to piss off a guest, go fuck yourself. And that's what I said. Well, I didn't say go fuck yourself. I just said, you know, go. So
did that whole thing even really happen, Dougie?
Yeah, that did. You can talk to Frank Del Pizzo. Was an eyewitness of this whole occasion. He was there. He participated in it. He was like, he even said he gave his 2 cents to the dealer and the dealer was just sitting there like a dumpy asshole. But the pit boss, the main guy, you know, we were arguing about it. Even people at the table were like, this is ridiculous. And people said, well, if that's the way it's going to be, they left. So that's why I stood there for a while and we discussed it, because everybody at the table said, was pissed. They kind of said, fuck it, we're boycotting it. We're leaving.
It's interesting. Yeah, you know, from a customer service standpoint, I don't know why they would make it an issue.
That's my point. I'm sitting there. Me and Frank are sitting there like, it's $20. And you're about to take $20 back out of my hand because your dealer fucked up? And I'm supposed to expect that? You know, I go upstairs and look at this video now. Well, you know, sir, you're going to give it back. I'm going to give it fucking back. What do you do? Take it from me? I'll call the police. How do I know what the, you know? And then we're sitting there and we're like, you know, I've already lost $200 or $300 here, you know, and you're going to sit here and quibble over this and, you know. So that's right around that point when I was talking, everybody said, yeah, we're out of here. We're fucking, because they're like,
yeah, you should have just, I would be curious if you just said, fuck you, and went to go cash out and take the chips you had, walked over there, cashed out, and then walked away.
Right.
Like, what are they going to do?
Yeah. I mean, I could imagine the police showing up. But being that I was an entertainer at that weekend, I didn't, you know, working for at the hotel, didn't want to cause any waves.
And that's the other thing. I mean, it's like, you know, you're there, you know, working.
Yeah.
Did they know that?
Well, as a matter of fact, one of the guys who was at the table said it. This guy was the comic that was here this weekend. You know, you're going to, what the hell, you're busting it. You know, it was just pitiful. Well, that's why I didn't play any, I didn't play any casino games while I was attending Rocky Gap.
Yeah, me neither.
I was happy with the $120 I had made to pay for my rental car. Wasn't going to have to dig into my pocket.
From the t-shirts, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, you know, I get to drive to Pipes Stem, West Virginia, who up until this trip I never knew existed. And I get out there and I'm having one of those moments. It's a long drive, but, as a guy who drives up and down Florida a lot, it's not a bad drive when you're going through the mountains and, you know what I mean? And it's not, you know.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's a scenic. It doesn't go as, you know. And I rented some crappy Kia Soul. Oh, God. You know, that I think when the incline was like 1 or 2% on some of these like roads with a little bit of a hill, that thing goes into overdrive. God.
I actually had a pretty nice rental car.
Yeah, good for you. So you know, we're at Pipestem. Now, this place was great. Comedy Zone gig. There was this thing is packed. Once a month show. People, it's basically in a chateau like spa area. We got to stay, and I was there with Jay Bliss, comedian from Charlotte, very funny guy. We shared like this cabin, had like 4 rooms, like a 2-story cabin, and but no iron or ironing board.
Jay Bliss, the guy from North Carolina.
Yeah.
Oh, I know Jay. I've worked with him before.
Yeah. So he was headlining, and so we, you know, that was cool. And the show packed house, place is ripped. You know, they have a guy playing guitar to start, you know, get everybody in a mood. And then the owner comes up and basically introduces us, same type of introduction, you know, just an introduction. And it's chatty crowd. I got to, you know, tame them. But, man, just had a phenomenal set. Everything went great. And, you know, they're drinking. They're West Virginians drinking, you know. And then what they do is, this is by choice, they take a little intermission.
Oh, that's tough.
Where people go out and, you know, piss and get in, and of course go back to the bar because that's what they got to be doing. And you know, they go back and they go out and smoke. A lot of people went out and smoke. And I'm feeling good, and you know, everything went great. And when we basically after the mission go back in and everybody settles down, and I basically go back up and I bring up Jay. So, you know, meanwhile, I'm walking in there like a rock star because I had a great set and people were always patting me on the back and they, you know, I love it, you know, and feeling good. So I got back in and they respect me. So I quieted them down pretty quick. And Jay goes up, does great. He's a funny guy. Goes up great. Everything's cool and everything. But there was this one table with this woman, and I made a decision. And as comics, you know, there you have to make that decision. If there's somebody like this, there was a woman that went at this one table. There was two or three women. If they, when they wanted to talk, they just start talking. You know, like in the middle.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, like in the middle of the joke. Like, hey, you know, I remember when I was with that guy. And then meanwhile, you're on stage trying. So, you know, what I've kind of learned to do, and I'm relying on it a lot, and it seems to help me a lot, because, you know, I don't mind getting into it, but I'm not like, you know, as you would know, John, it's hard for me to go from like casually discussing something to like enough's enough. And so I don't like to get myself into it. So all I do is talk louder into the mic.
Right.
And I look at them while I'm doing it. And as I'm doing it, I seem to get their attention, and by continuing to speak, it's almost, you know what I mean? It's almost like they shut her down. And sometimes it works, seems a lot. Sometimes you may have to tell, hey, somebody, you know, deal with this. But but I kept going, and in my back of my mind, these people are all drinking. You know, it's going to be hard to keep it. The only way I'm going to do it is by making them want to look up here. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I stuck to my guns. Everything went great. So I may even made an announcement when I was bringing Jess. Like, everybody, do me a favor. Let's, you know, if you want to talk, maybe go outside. If not, you know, during the show, please, you know. You know, and went right into it. He goes up, does good. Now, I guess, now I'm only saying this because Jay's already spoken to the zone and everything, but there was an incident. And Jay tells a joke about Miss, I don't know, it's like, about like someone's reading sign language. And it's not offensive at all to handicap, but it's like a funny situation that occurred from it. And I guess somebody who had been drinking and probably had the education of a 5-year-old, a few table of three or four, got upset, and they were like, when I walked out there to grab his t-shirts and stuff, like, you should be ashamed to work with that guy. I go, what? I'm like, what the fuck is, you know, what did I miss? And and at any rate, some this and that, and then this other lady comes on to me, a little lady, it looks like a miniature Kool-Aid bottle. You know, like Kool-Aid had a baby. And she walks up and she's like, I thought you last, but that guy, he was just a fancy. I go, what the fuck are you talking? And then, and all of a sudden, as this is all going on, not to mention that there was this one bigger woman who looked like she could have been Kool-Aid's bigger sister, decides that she's going to come try to whisper sweet nothings in my ear when I'm at the bar, but she wasn't whispering. She was talking loudly, and everybody's starting to look at me, and I'm like, well, so he's that shitty situation. I mean, Jay looked over at me because he can hear. He's like, hey, I thought you were funny. Meanwhile, she's taking her finger to her lips and like teasing. And I'm like, oh, don't make me sick. And then, you know,
she was probably just trying to get out the leftover chicken that was in there.
I think so.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she's like, she's getting really close. Like when a big woman like that gets close, like her belly's rubbing up on you and her boobs up top. And you're like wondering, like, is there more room in this room? I don't know. Is there a reason why you're falling on me? And, you know, I got out of that quick. I kind of, excuse me, I went to the back where nobody, only the staff can go.
Mm-hmm.
And
so how was the sex?
listen, so she was disgusting. And, yeah, not to mention, she looked like she had bad acne when she was young, too. Trust me, this was she was like a 0.0. So... Now, and meanwhile, she went from me to Jay when he was out there when this was going on, and this was going on with this. But basically, to make a long story short, one of the gentlemen of that group, disenchanted group from the show, actually dropped the N-bomb then I was like, oh,
to his face.
Well, kind of from a distance, you know what I mean? Like they were still chatting from a distance. He's like, look, you know, you come to a comedy, yeah, whatever, about, you know, one of those things from a distance. And then the one guy, you know, he didn't go, you know, I kind of heard it, but I was still peddling my shirts. You know, I'm trying to sit there and sell t-shirts while the Civil War is going on. So,
you know, it's funny. It was funny because I was going to ask you if you thought it was racial, because I don't think people who are listening know who Jay Bliss is and the fact that he's black. I don't know if you know what I mean? that hasn't been discussed. And I was going to ask if you thought it was racially motivated, but I was going to wait until the end of the story to ask that question. But now it kind of sounds like it might have been.
Well, we were in West Virginia, and the guy dropped the N-bomb. I don't need much more evidence than that.
Well, right. But, I mean, I didn't want to suppose. That's what
there was a security guy that was supposed to be around, but he was probably out, you know, banging that. Somebody probably ended up banging that ugly bank, that skank. Mm. But any rate, so he handled it great, and you know, we're sitting there.
So Jay heard it.
Yeah. Oh no, he was like, "Hey, man!" And the guy, you know, of course, the guy. It's not like he was approaching him. He had all these little fat, you know, country women walking around him, and you know, they kind of like, you know, he kind of de-escalated, kind of walked off, and you know, Jay's a big dude too. No, Jay was just standing there. He was just standing there like a foot away from the merch table.
Ooh.
You know, and this was kind of, you know, it wasn't like the N-bomb was dropped and he was in a punching distance.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, where I think in any circumstance, if one person or one man is standing in front of another man and one of those men call that person a nigger, a kike, a spick, would be another one that's really offensive.
Chink.
Yeah. You know? You know, you call me chick-hot! You know, that's for sure. Anything like that happens.
It's almost as offensive as that.
Well, listen, it's not like a chink. Not like a chink's going to go, "Oh, I'm going to slap you in your face now, mate." And so, you know, it would be right, you know, like it would be almost, it would be pretty much excusable. Like, somebody forwarded me one of these videos from these protesters during the inauguration. It was people trying to get through the street. And they were like younger kids, had a big, you know, they had masks on their face, all in black and anarchist type symbols on their, and there, this and that. And there's people came, and all of a sudden these biker guys came through, you know, and like, there's people like trying to get through. And they're like, so one, not even the biker guy, the one guy got mad and he just kind of like, you know, running back to through these little, you know, these little fucking guys weighing 120 pounds, these mm-hmm. anarchists, and he knocks them down. He gets through, and the one guy with the pole with the flag on it tries to, like, he thinks he's playing joust like in a video game, and it's hard. Yeah, obviously, he's never trained himself with a stick, and the guy he tries to poke him with grabs a stick and is about to start pounding him, and then two of the girls come, "Oh, please don't beat up my stupid boyfriend," and you know, and it de-escalates, and the guy grabs him, pushes him, and throws him, put it aside, like, you know. And then the one girl, there's a girl who she, you know, she looks like she had a pierced lip and like pink hair and half blue. And and she starts screaming at the guy after the guy refrained from punching this kid. He just kind of threw him to the side, and she starts pointing a finger at him. And then she spits on him.
Hmm.
Now, I'm here to tell you that if anyone spits on me, there's going to be two things. If it's a guy, I'm going to choke him to fucking death. If it's a girl, she's going to get an open hand tiger claw. It's what it's called in the martial arts. And if you want to know what a tiger claw is, it's when you basically take your hand, like you're about to reach out and grab, like, I don't know, like a mug off a shelf. You know what I mean? You're about to grab something off, like a glass or a bottle. You're going to grab some milk out of the fridge. Just picture doing that and forcing that straight through the girl's throat. Now, mind you, I'm going to set it for stun, and she's not going to die. But you know, she's going to remember the last time she's tried to spit on somebody. Trust me. What would you do if somebody spit on you, John?
If it was a gentleman, we'd certainly have a problem.
Well, what do you mean you have a problem? You like start sending them hate mail?
No.
All right. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean you would have a problem?
Well, I mean, if I said, I mean, it would really depend on the situation, but most likely it would come to physical blows if that was the case.
Yeah, I mean, so he just spit on you. What would your first action be?
Well, how close is he?
You're literally face to face. You're close. You got spit on your face. You're sitting there. You got a loogie hanging from your fucking.
I'd probably punch him or push him or, you know, tackle him. I don't know. I haven't really kind of thought through the situation.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to tackle him, you go into like a 3-point stance. And then, like, hut.
Do you want me to like draw you a diagram? Dougie, I mean, is that important for you for this conversation?
It's always interesting. Yeah, somebody handles something like that. Like I could tell, like when playing soccer and stuff, I've been spit on. Like you get like, so you know, I remember one time clearly, I'm a goalkeeper, right? So I come out, and it's a corner kick, basically a corner kick, which as the goalkeeper, if it's anywhere in that 6-yard box, you got to try to. That's your ball. And I'm not blessed with height, so I was always an aggressive son of a bitch. So when the ball was floating, it, you know, flying into the 6-yard box, I come flying out. And of course, in my own defense, which we're allowed to do, I stick my knee up, right? I get to put my knee up in front of me so I can protect myself as my arms are up reaching for the ball. And I happen to, like, you know, run into this Hispanic fellow, this player, you know, and I fucking pretty much, he went to the ground and he got up and he started screaming at me and he spit in my face. Now, I didn't give him the tiger claw, but I did give him a headbutt, which gave me, which ended up getting me the red card. But it was worth it. This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with John Levine.
Yeah, getting spit on.
That's right. We're getting spit on here. And fresh from our little comedy show at Rocky Gap Casino in Cumberland, Maryland, if you're ever in the area, Thursday nights, night, was it 8 o'clock show?
8 o'clock show.
8 o'clock show. And we'll be back with segment two, appropriately enough, and some stories that I think are pretty important to know. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Pete Lee, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, because it's late, and I just woke up.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm Dougie Almeida. And from our studios in Atlanta, John Levine.
The Super Bowl participating Atlanta Falcons Atlanta studio.
Now, I'd imagine if you want to make a prediction, you're going with Atlanta in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I am, but I just think they're a better team, frankly. I mean, I just think they're just firing on all cylinders.
They seem to be. I mean, they kicked the shit.
Yeah.
Out of who'd they play again? They played
Green Bay. Well, what was most amazing to me yesterday, they showed the stat at the end of the game. They had like, I think it was like 11 drives during the entire game and one punt.
Right.
They had like seven touchdowns, like two field goals and like one punt.
It's like every time you watch them, their receivers, they caught the ball, but the majority of their time, the receivers for Green Bay were dropping the ball.
Yeah, that was a big problem.
Like somebody said, Aaron Rodgers, if half those people caught the ball, it would have been a completely different game.
No, it certainly would have been. I mean, you could see the look on Rodgers' face. Like after about the fifth drop, I thought he was going to wring somebody's neck.
Can you imagine? You're the quarterback and you're hitting people right in the fucking numbers and these clowns keep dropping the ball.
Yeah. Well, it's frustrating.
Yeah. But then as the quarterback, you know, that's the thing. It's like in life, you know. Sometimes that quarterback's got to rip into the fucking guy and say, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, you don't have, you know, it's never good if another teammate goes, hey, don't be hard on him. Be nice. Mind his feelings.
I don't think that takes place.
No, it doesn't. And I can tell you in any competitive sport, you know, being I played at a high level of with soccer, you know, collegiate and some pro. That is not, especially, you know, I was, you know, as a goalkeeper, that's, you know, that was the defense. You know, you want to bust somebody. Hey, somebody screws up. Hey, man, keep it up, brother. Whatever. But if he's still got his head up his ass, what the fuck is wrong with you, you clown? You know? Hey, smack him in the fucking head.
There's a big difference between, like, getting beat and, like, just making bad mistakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you know? Any rate, so this is segment two where we talk about interesting things. And nothing to me was more interesting than watching Madonna drop the F-bomb. While I was sitting at the airport in Baltimore, it was funny because one channel had Fox News, and they obviously weren't covering it, and CNN had it, and they had her on there, and, you know, I heard the F-bombs come out, and I was like, well, the first thing I thought, being a financial guy, is I wonder how much CNN will have to pay for this. Like, I wonder what the fines will be.
It's pretty big.
Right? It's got to be over $500,000.
That's a good question. I don't know what.
And the second thing I kept thinking, of course, like anybody, is, you know, I wonder, like you know the like, the, of course, in the eyes of public opinion, how this is going to weigh out, right? That's the first thing. Like, okay, some people are like, oh, she's motivated, you know, and other people, she's a cunt. So it's good, you know, it's interesting, just, you know, more how this divided nation will take it in. So you didn't see it, right?
No, I didn't see it.
So I also heard that, I guess, what's her name? One of the Judd sisters, the actress, was pretty pretty strong worded. And
I saw the headline today about that she'd given a pretty impassioned speech, but I didn't see that.
It's there's a lot of hate. I mean, there's people. Even her sister came out and said, she can't condone it. And, you know, I mean, Madonna used words like tyranny and these dark times. And, you know, when I heard her say that, these dark times, like in order to say these are the dark times, you know, you can't say it's been 24 hours. These are dark times. And, you know, if you're saying dark times, you must be talking over the last 8 to 10 years or 15 years or whatever to say dark times. You know, it was very, you know, passionate words. And the thing that was interesting about Madonna's speech was when she came out and said how she often thinks about being this way, she's thought about, or, you know, she's contemplated, whatever, how blowing up the White House. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, she didn't say she was going to blow up the White House. She says she felt, you know, she feels like it. And I'm going to ask you, and I'm almost scared to ask you this question because I'm hoping I get a non-bipartisan answer to this and nothing that's, you know, but more like when somebody says something like that, even if you word it a little different, but the image is blowing up the White House, wouldn't you consider that somewhat of a dangerous thought?
Absolutely.
To spread across the nation when we have mass shootings.
I don't think it should even be joked about, to be honest. I mean, because the issue becomes, like, do I think Madonna's going to blow up the White House? No. But people, there are people out there who take suggestion very easily.
And here's, you're right. We are very unstable. You know, some guy... one guy bit off a bat's head because he saw fucking Ozzy Osbourne do it. So it's silly and ridiculous, right?
People are impressionable, yeah.
Right. And now here's the thing that I'm more concerned with, because Madonna's not a stupid woman. You know, she's very smart. She's achieved a lot, and an icon in music, and a barrier breaker, and in a sense, I wouldn't say a positive image for women, in the sense of her eagerness and her compassion and all that stuff, yes. But, you know, obviously by her choice of words and what she did here in front of our nation. Now, she's a smart woman. She knows that she was on a camera where millions of people are watching. She knows that if she says something a certain way, even though she's not instilling it, it is instilling it. And it's almost like an emboldened message for people to do what she, in fact, says to do. So, as you said, like, I don't expect her to do it because she doesn't have the balls to do it, to blow up the White House. She doesn't, you know. But what she is doing is she's passing on a message where, hey, who doesn't think of this? And you know what? I wouldn't do it.
Well, I mean, look, I didn't see it, so I don't know the tone. I don't, you know what I mean?
Right.
I would also think that Madonna would blow up the White House. I also have a hard time thinking that she was doing it to instruct someone else to do it.
Well, I do feel in her mind, and that's the thing. And by the way, the CIA is now investigating her.
Well, it'd be the FBI.
No, the CIA.
Why would the CIA be doing
that? That's the root, that's what I'm looking at here. Secret Service will investigate Madonna after singer says she wants to blow up the White House.
Oh, the Secret Service. That's different.
Right. Yeah, and I remember there was another thing. Reddit had posted something about the CIA. There's another.
Well, the CIA can't operate inside the United States.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll go back to that search, but that's probably why I didn't pull it up. Secret Service has allegedly said it will open an investigation into Madonna after her D.C. speech. Estimated 500,000 people participated in that march. Big discussion about the alt facts, the funny thing, I mean, my point is, who gives a shit who is there or not there at this point? Yeah, I'm not surprised. Again, I'm not surprised that a billionaire would want to have sex with Russian hookers if that's the case. I'm not surprised that less people had showed up there, A, because his unpopularity, and B, because the fear of being, you know, attacked by some of these people that already came out and said they were going to do to properly, you know, was well known that they're going to try to create disorder. And just people staying away from it because of that, you know, because of how divided this time is, and all that to say that. But, you know, of course, that's one thing. Ridiculous. Why bother? You know, why bother even talking about it? So I won't get any argument out of me. But the thing that did bug me was, you know, again, just like when a Madonna says, let's blow up the White House, It is concerning to me that a member of the media would post a story that, you know, Donald Trump had removed the bust of Martin Luther King, you know, from, you know, which is basically
but
a head statue.
He immediately retracted that.
He immediately did it. But again, this is a situation where you have to ask yourself, like, you know how powerful that story is, and if you are willing to throw it out there without, you know, you obviously don't care about the consequences, but you're concerned. In other words, you know the consequences, and if you come back and retract your statement, that you know that, but you don't give a shit because you can quickly do that, but you're still going to put that out there. You're still going to put that out there to cause that, you know, more divide, that, and anger, yeah, that racial tension.
But here's the flaw in that is that what that guy did, and I'm sure what he's feeling, is that he did more to damage the media in that sense. You know what I mean? Like,
it has, right?
For the intent of, like, kind of inflaming the situation, he knows that would cause more damage in the long run.
Well,
especially if you retract. You know what I mean? So I mean, it was a mistake. It was clearly a mistake.
Yeah, it was a big mistake. It was a stupid mistake. You know,
yeah,
if you're gonna
doubt about that, I'm certainly not arguing against
these
things, you know, retractions happen. I mean,
I know. They do happen. But when they do happen, people need to be severely pointed out. And like you said, it blemishes more of the image of the media. And, you know, and here's the thing. Here's my big concern is that if that continues on that pattern, if we continue and this just doesn't get any better, the next level is basically, in a sense, complete disarray. In other words, once there's a part of this country that can't trust the media, or the media is being manipulative to have an ulterior motive, you're not far away from martial law. You're not far away from you know, chaos and all kinds of anarchy going on, because then people are going to go to the streets and want to be heard, and more and it's just going to get worse on both sides. Yeah, so,
but the seeds of this distrust.
I don't give a
media.
Fuck where the seeds are. What I care about is where we are now. I don't, you know, if you could, again, if we get to the blame game, it doesn't matter. We are here. We are all sitting here, much like
But what I was going to say is that this to me was done purposefully. I mean, it was done because they want this type of situation. And,
who does?
And they're getting
it. Who wants it?
The Trump campaign.
All right. So you
it works to their favor if their followers say,
so
I can't trust
again,
the media,
so
I can only trust
so you
Donald
and I
Trump.
Are going to get into this now. This, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Is the media dishonest and manipulative and controlled? And there's aspects of it.
This was never a discussion before this campaign. Now, media bias was a discussion, but this whole fake news,
right.
You can't believe the media, was never a discussion.
Well, this has reared its ugly head this year. And whether which one came first, it existed, but there's, you know, whether he came and the media is going to press against the guy unfairly in a certain area or whatever. Here's my point. I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to argue and waste time discussing which happened first. The fact that it exists, you know, if I want to worry more about how it happened as opposed to acknowledging it where it is, I'm like an alcoholic who's still trying to figure out who to blame for drinking. And that's not going to get me anywhere. The only way I'm going to get anywhere is if I acknowledge what the issue is and I move on. And until then, both parties are sitting there jerking each other's dick. Okay.
No, but do you distrust the media?
I distrust the media.
Talking about, I mean, do you think that CNN is making up stories?
Here's the thing. Where I distrust the media is when they try to influence the mass. And that's why I try to, like I always say, as somebody who has a philosophical background, I always, no matter how strong I feel about something, I always urge myself to try to search to the other side so that I'm not pulled and tugged.
And that's understandable. And like I said, media bias is not a new thing. I mean,
my point is that when it's that, okay, it's one thing. Now, when these mistakes, you did see mistakes and retractions, but you didn't see them almost at this level or this thing, because it is a tit and tat. People are being vindictive and going back and forth, and it's turned into this shit. And here's my concern. I don't give a fuck who's doing it, because I'm the American public. I'm the person that's going to sit there and deal with the shit from it. I'm the one who's going to get the fucking crap from it. I'm the one who's going to have to deal with all the streets and everything out there, just like you do. Not the people sitting up there and the ones that work for the media and the ones that do it. You know, that's not what it is. I'm just saying, as anybody listens to the show, when you see this shit, you know, and these people got to be called out. Like, not to get bogged down to the subject, because I thought this was a great story. In that note, you're being called out for fucking up, right? Like that journalist said, oh, sorry, there might have been a secret service guy standing in front of it at the time. I think that's one of the excuses the guy made.
Well, he didn't see it. I mean, he was the
president. He didn't see it, but, you know, meanwhile,
so he thought it was
removed. Yeah, meanwhile, there's two Secret Service guys, like 6 foot nine, standing in front of it, like, I didn't see it, so it's not there. So, listen, like you said, John, like you said, the guy apologized, and he was a dick, you know, so, you know. So why did he say, well, he said, I got to feel bad for the guy. No, I don't feel bad. He's a fucking asshole. He shouldn't be in that position. Move on. I'm sure. Get rid of this guy. Let's find somebody who doesn't make a fucked up mistake that can actually persuade the mobs of this country knowingly, because this fucking hard on wants to come up with a story that just really helps him get to be known in his newscast. I'm going to have the big story. It's going to be me, and I'm going to probably get an anchor job somewhere. You fucking fruitcake. But here's somebody who is paying the price, and I would say if I was in her shoes, I'd probably be really kicking myself for my using my own freedom of speech. Katie Rich of Saturday Night Live is suspended for her tweet mocking Barron Trump. Now, I didn't read the tweet. You know, I don't really read a lot of people's tweets. You know, I like to tweet on occasion, but I don't really read a lot of them. I don't spend my time on Twitter going, oh, what's this say? But I do have some people I like to follow, like some news stuff. But are you aware of this story?
I'm aware of the backlash to the
tweet.
I didn't realize it came from a tweet, but I've seen the stuff that's like the discussion of if he's a fair target, if he's not a fair target, like that kind of thing.
Right, and all due kudos to Chelsea Clinton for coming out and on Twitter and like dealing with all the bullshit from that, defending like going to Barron's side. You know what I mean? I mean, she came out and she fucking really helped, stepped it up to really, make a difference. And I applaud her for that. Katie Rich, a writer of Saturday Night Live, has been suspended from her position at that show following a widely criticized post she made Friday on her personal Twitter account, in which she mocked Barron Trump, the 10-year-old son, 10-year-old kid, that she wanted to go ahead and attack, all because she wanted to make a point of our president, Donald Trump. She was suspended immediately after her tweet, and her suspension is indefinite. What's that mean, John?
It means it has no definite ending.
It's indefinite. It's who knows? She could be back in a week. She may never be back. According to someone familiar with plans at SNL, who was not authorized by NBC to comment on personal matters. That tweet on Friday during Mr. Trump's inauguration ceremony drew widespread condemnation. She deleted her post and deactivated her Twitter account.
Does it have the tweet in the article?
Nope.
Yeah.
She was hired back in 2013. Maddie was sitting there like, hey, life's great. I'm a writer. I'm writing for one of the fucking best comedy shows ever in history. This is fucking life's great. Hey, you know what? Look at that kid. I'm going to fucking make fun of him because I'm just such a fucking cunt. And I want to go and talk against this guy because all this conjecture and everything. I'm just going to make my point to be like everybody else. Wasn't funny. Guess what? You're going to be working at a Starbucks now. I know they had made comments about this kid being autistic or something. I can tell you, I don't feel bad for that kid. He's going to get a lot of pussy and he's going to inherit a lot, so good for him. I'm sure he'll brush this off. Think about it. Yeah, how do you think she's feeling?
I'll be honest. I mean... I'm sure she's not happy.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure she realized if she deleted the tweet and closed her account, obviously she realized she made a mistake.
She says, I sincerely apologize for the insensitive tweet. I deeply regret my actions and offensive words. It was inexcusable, and I am so sorry, which is a really good, authentic apology when somebody says that and didn't say, but you know how things are, so I'm a little upset.
But she didn't say that.
No.
She just said she was so sorry.
It was a true apology. You know, and the greatest thing about this is hopefully people learn that, hey, if I'm going to use my freedom of speech, I'm not going to be a fucking idiot about it. And this is why people on the right say there's a hypocrisy, and say, hey, everybody wants to be treated a certain way. But when it comes down to it, it's kind of like a weird thing. It's like, it's like in a personal relationship, sometimes, whether it's a marriage or whatever, French, anything, sometimes there's levels of respect, et cetera. Right. And sometimes, like you said, like in football, you drop the ball. Sometimes you fuck up. Right. Sometimes you fuck up. Like, sometimes your friend may forget to pick you up at the airport, or you find out your boyfriend or girlfriend's cheating. Sometimes people fuck up. Right. and there's anger and all kinds of shit that happen. And, you know, those people fuck up. And if you forgive them, you know, you're forgiving them because you believe they didn't do it on purpose, or, you know what I mean? You felt like, oh, you know, whatever. There's too many other good things about this person for me to just completely think they're that bad, right? Because that's forgiveness. Sometimes somebody's a complete fucking asshole. You never forgive them because they're just a complete fucking ball of mess, you know? And you forgive them, like, yeah, I'm fine. I'll just forgive, but I'm not going to hang out with you anymore, whatever, you know?
But I think if somebody drops the ball, right? And it's just, I mean, it's, they fucked up. If they dropped the ball because the night before the game, they decided to go out drinking and go on a Coke binge and they can't even think straight, then it's not just a fuck up. You know what I mean?
And generally,
like,
when
I wouldn't consider cheating to be just like somebody fucking up. I mean, cheating has intent.
Right. Trust me, John. But yeah, exactly. And basically, based on the actions you said, the drug and stuff like that, generally when somebody lives that lifestyle, there's a lot of fuck ups. That's, you know, eventually there's more and more of those. It's not like once in a while. So, you know, the idea is that sometimes in those relationships, when somebody does that, whether they forgive or don't forgive, sometimes they'll end up doing something in a bit of reciprocity to that. Like, you know, and sometimes, like, I was in a relationship once where somebody did something. Like, let's say I went out late. Let's say I forgot the call, whatever. And now all of a sudden she goes out and forgets the call. She goes, I don't call. So, you know, to me, it's like, okay, I didn't do it because of this or that or this, but you did it because you're just being vindictive. You know, you're purposely doing something which, in a sense, has a different level of cause. You know what I mean? I'm trying to say, as opposed to, look, you're forgetful, you're this, any number of things. When somebody does something because you did it, you know, or you're doing that, that's a bit vindictive, wouldn't you think? Wouldn't that be a way of saying that?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously, that's exactly what it is.
So when somebody does something because you did it, it's vindictive. So the hypocrisy sometimes we're seeing in this, in our culture now, is that people will complain about something, but then what they'll do is they'll go and say, well, you know what, I'm going to do it because you did it, which to me is even more ignorant than the first person who did it. And this is a cycle that I think we're in at this moment. This seems to be the cycle when it comes to the media, our politics, our ideologies, and all this stupid shit. This is where we're at. This is a big portion of that divide, is because it's like a never ending churning fucking ball of shit.
If you're attacked and you attack back, that's not
vindictive. I mean, but if somebody acts a certain way, or they say, look, I don't like the way things are going, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out. Like, you know, like in a sense, when Madonna's sitting there saying she's marching for the rights of women and everything like that, but then turns around and says, I would blow up and cause physical harm to people, and, you know, fuck you, and, you know, whatever. It's kind of like, well, I'm kind of missing the peace message here. You know what I mean? And all that kind of stuff. And it turns into that. And that's the problem. And again, enough said on that. I'm really glad that this woman, and I'm really glad NBC took, I mean, of course, NBC and Saturday Night Live's like, next, you know what I mean? This is a good thing, because there's another person who, is probably very well qualified to write and is going to get the opportunity of a lifetime. And, by the way, I got my pen and, a composition book ready if anybody wants to audition. Anyway, I'm wondering what's left here on R2. You know what? We're going to have to come back on a break, but we got to talk about this in the straight from the headlines. But I don't know if anybody noticed, but so somehow the British Navy, one of their submarines, mistakenly launched a ballistic missile off the coast of Florida. It wasn't armed. Obviously, it was like, hey, let's use the ones with the nuclear thing in it. But the Brits are like, well, you know, I don't know if it blew off or maybe it fell, you know. But that's we'll come back.
When did this happen?
Yeah, I'll tell you the story when we come back for straight from the headlines right after this.
Hey, this is Steve Marshall, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. And if there's anybody who likes to wake up late, it's me.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and it's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of it. You been sitting on the beach in Florida and... Hey, what is that, a shooting star? No, it's a fucking English missile. I mean,
do you know it's English because it's like holding a cup of tea?
Yeah. It's got a funny hat on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a fucking, you know, it's got Jaguar written on it. Well, I'd say that's why I don't buy Jaguars. My father's an auto mechanic, used to always say, you know, the English car's electrical systems suck. Mm. They're always going down. You know, I don't know if Ford remedied that or not. Story here, missile failure off Florida. Question mark, British leader won't say. Well, you know, we're not sure it was a problem or not. You know, maybe we're still celebrating the 4th of July with you Yanks. The British government is being accused of concealing the failure of an unarmed ballistic missile launch ahead of a debate in Parliament over whether to refurbish the country's aging Trident nuclear launching system. I think let's vote on it. Yes, we must fix it. It's fucking terrible. We almost blew up Florida.
That wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing.
No, let's just hit California. Those fucking liberal fucking actors who know, think they know everything. Britain's prime minister refused to say Sunday whether she knew about an unarmed Trident missile that reportedly failed when it was test-fired off the coast of Florida last year. Theresa May told BBC she had total confidence in Britain's Trident nuclear launching system, but didn't confirm or deny a newspaper report about the alleged failure of the ballistic missile designed to carry nuclear warheads, but luckily enough, this one didn't. Hey, it seemed hotter today in Florida. I don't know if you noticed the increase of temperature of 3,000 degrees.
You probably wouldn't with the humidity.
Yeah. Yeah, the nuclear explosion would just like add a few more points to the humidity. Can you imagine sitting there and all of a sudden, what the fuck is going on?
And there's a nuclear explosion?
No, I mean, y'all, even this one, like, you're sitting there, and it wasn't, you know, but you see it just go and land right next to you on the fucking sand.
Yeah, they didn't say how far off the coast. I mean, it could have been 200 miles off the coast.
Well,
I would assume.
Once you're off 2.5 miles, you're in international water, so I don't know.
I thought 7 miles was international water.
I thought it was 2.5. I thought that's when the sea escape things, you can gamble. I thought it was 2.5.
No, I think it's 2.5 is pretty close. I mean, you can see the shore from 2.5 miles off.
Yeah. I guess you're right. We're talking nautical miles. We're talking about alternate miles. Dopey bastard. This
says actually once a ship is 24 miles from any coastline, it's on the high seas or international waters, with the exception of certain rights within a contentious zone. So, I mean, I guess 24 is like if you're 24 miles off anywhere, you're in international waters.
Yeah, but it's not like
different countries have different, you know.
It's not like a ballistic missile, John. It's like a fucking stray bottle rocket, you know, or a fucking, you know.
Well, I mean, it wasn't loaded.
I mean, but still, it's a ballistic missile. It travels, you know, at a very high speed, and it can travel long. You can hit the coast. As I'm saying, you know, you're sitting there like renting a raft at the beach, and all of a sudden, this big dildo looking thing comes flying in from fucking the sky.
And part I'm saying it's good.
Well, I'm just saying.
And I'm not saying the Brits are not saying it's good either. I mean, they fucked up. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, you imagine? Crazy. Here's a funny story, considering football. Pats fan who pulled alarm at Steelers hotel told cops he was drunk.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Did they mention Perry Sack's name by exactly?
I guess they were in, where was this? And I guess it was at the hotel where the Pittsburgh Steelers were staying. Like, I'm drunk, I'm stupid, I'm a Pats fan, Dennis Harrison told state police, according to the report filed for his arrest for disturbing the peace and setting off a false fire alarm. Police report said Harrison was at a party in Revere when he was dared to pull the stunt. Hey, I dare you.
He probably didn't even get the word dare. He's like, hey, I did. He's like, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah. Apparently, the snoofle was all needed to get her. He was all ready to do it. His genius plan was foiled when his getaway car bolted. And he began to walk away when cops approached him. Hey there, buddy. Yeah, you want to turn around? Sure. I'm drunk and stupid.
It's amazing that Harvard is in Boston.
Yeah. See, that's what they do. They make the students look out there and go, you don't want to be one of these fucking loons, do you? I'll study. I promise. When he said he was waiting for a cop's approaching, he was waiting for an Uber to pick him up before admitting it. I did it. Harrison informed that he had knowingly and willingly activated the fire alarm system with the sole purpose of attempting to disrupt the Pittsburgh Steelers football team, you know, eh? Trooper Brian Erickson wrote, adding that Harrison expressed regret over committing the prank. Considering the Patriots won, it's reasonable to wonder whether his remorse is genuine. Just like that media guy says, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to post that story. Police looking for a man who stole two pizzas dressed as a beer bottle. I'm going to guess that this guy didn't think about stealing the pizza until he was near the pizza.
In a related story, a guy dressed as a pizza stole two beer bottles.
Who would have thought? Yeah. I've had that situation. It's late. You go to one of those pizza places. You know, it's like 3 or 4 in the morning after the club. And, you know, you're sitting there and there's like a fucking pizza like on this tray and you're like standing there and everybody's busy doing shit. I don't think I'd do it if I was dressed like a beer bottle. It'd be easy to be pointed out in the fucking lineup. You sure it wasn't that guy? No, I think it was the beer guy in the beer bottle outfit.
Now, was it the guy? Was it the light beer or the regular? Because,
Yeah, well, wait a minute. That guy's got a Mickey bottle. A thief is a real pizza worker. A man in South Wales was caught on camera stealing two pizzas while dressed as a beer bottle. The unidentified pizza thief entered a staff-only area, grabbed two pies, and left without paying. And one of the pretty cute little joke here. Luckily, it doesn't look like he took any dough.
Aww.
It might seem easy to track down a giant Heineken bottle. But like a beer that's been open for 6 hours, the search seems to have gone flat. I'm sure he ditched the fucking beer bottle outfit. I don't know, but if I had a costume that looked like a Heineken beer bottle, I couldn't let go of that easily.
So they haven't caught him?
Nope. The giant Heineken bottle has eluded. Crime. Yeah, he's eluded the authorities.
Pizza and beer go together like...
Yeah, that's right.
That's pretty funny.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know.
Idiot who shined laser at helicopter gets 3 years in prison. Here's another person that should do the time.
Yeah, no kidding.
These fucking loons. Hey, look, let's try to fuck with the people flying the plane. Now, think about that for a second. Think about the next. This. Some people are just so fucking stupid that they don't recognize the potential calamity. You know what I mean? They don't realize.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? They think, hey, this is cute. Like, you know, it's like, it's lighting ants on fire. It's just like lighting ants on fire. Idiot who shined laser at helicopter gets 3 years in prison and will be butt-fucked the entire time. Yesterday in Kansas City, Missouri, a man was sentenced to 3 years in prison after pleading guilty to shining a laser at a passing helicopter, representing one case out of the nearly 28,000 laser incidents. 28,000. Reported by the FAA between 2011 and 2015. That's a lot.
2011 to the 4 years. Yeah, that's a lot.
It's what, about 4,000 or 5,000 a year, 6,000 a year? Yeah. The reason is our obvious why, right? You don't want to sit there and you fucking crashes on your neighbor's house. What a fucking idiot. Although serious sentences like these help dissuade would-be morons from perpetuating a similar crime, the real problem is that of those 28,000 reported incidents, there have only been 80 convictions. So a lot of people are getting away with it.
Well, it's got to be a tough thing to, like, you know, if a laser hits them, to find out where the laser came from. You know
right.
what I mean?
You'd have to have, you basically, the only way you can get it is by witnesses on the ground. And hopefully this isn't like somebody says, hey, I'll try this once. Ah, that got boring. Let's go bowling. You know, this is a situation where somebody like, hey, let's get, I'm going to do this again tomorrow when I get home.
I can only hope that they're just really fucking drunk when they do that.
I just, these are either like retards. I'm not talking about people with Down syndrome. These are just retards. Like, people had an education but are that stupid. That, you know, again, the same people that when their kids lit ants on fire, you know, and put bottle rocks.
Did they say how old this person was?
No. He said he's a man, not a young boy.
But he he's going to jail. I mean,
he did live in Kansas City. Yeah, he did live in Kansas City, Missouri, so that tells you anything.
He's a Chiefs fan?
Probably. He's really upset.
Oh, I hate him already.
Trucker loses trailer of 38,000 pounds of marbles on the highway. Hey, man, I lost my marbles.
All those marbles. I don't know. I'm going to ship them to California.
Well, there was a story the other day about these Skittles that, and there's a follow-up story, but I read the first story from last week, but a bunch of Skittles that were supposedly going to go to like cows or some fucking, you know, a herd of people or whatever. That spilled somewhere in Jersey, like Skittles all over the fucking place. Trucker loses trailer with 38,000 pounds of marbles on I-465, Indianapolis. A trucker has lost his marbles in the area. State police tell the news 38,000 pounds of marbles lost its trailer Saturday on southbound Interstate 465 near Pendleton Pike. The marbles were on the shoulder and in the median. And it was hilarious watching everybody try to pick them up as they flipped to their asses.
Well, I was about to say, that's 19 tons of marbles. I mean, how much does an individual marble weigh? Like an ounce?
Yeah,
not even.
That's a question. There were no injuries, except for the clown who kept slipping on them. But a lane of traffic in that area was affected by a cleanup during that day. How do you pick up? That's a pain in the ass. That's I don't know. I guess when you think about it, marbles are a lot easier to pick up than, like, banana peels. Right? I mean, you think you'd just scoop them up.
Why would you be? Who would be hauling just banana peels?
Well, I'm just saying, if out of all the things I got to pick up, if they're marbles, well, fuck, you just get like a big shovel, you know. It's not like you're picking up things that are hard to pick up. They're marbles. They have a density and weight. It's kind of easy. You could get a couple dustpins and pick them all up.
So 19 tons is 608,000 ounces. So assuming that one marble weighs 1 ounce.
Yeah.
That's almost over a half a million marbles.
Yeah. Wow. And again, I wonder if they had like a vacuum. I wonder what the real process of picking them up was.
Yeah, probably a vacuum, like one of those big, like, industrial, you know, like what they use for, like, sucking out, like, sewer systems and shit.
Yeah, exactly. But those things, yeah, like a wet dry vac thing, you know, where they, like,
they're probably fuck up the inside, though.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you'd have to have something without a filter, you know, like a big thing, like where they lay, like, you ever see those trucks that that lace the mulch? You know, they just shoot them out of this big, long tube, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
There you go. Well, that would suck if you're sitting there at work. What happened? We got a call. Somebody fucking 30,000 fucking marbles on the road.
You know what the sad part is? I mean, obviously they're not going to get all the marbles, and some of the marbles are going to remain in the ground, and they're just going to kind of get buried there. And then, like, 1,000 years into the future, like, archaeologists are going to be like, this must have been the site of a marble factory.
Yeah. This place must have been, like, the funnest place on Earth.
This was Marble Central.
Yeah. Truck, speaking while we're another story about trucking, truck company owner charged with evading $1 million in tolls.
Yeah. A lot of tolls.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you got a trucking company, right? It's like,
but how do you evade it?
It's interesting. Perhaps I should read the story.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going long today, by the way. I hope you guys are sticking around with us. Newark, New Jersey, the owner of a New Jersey trucking company has been arrested while trying to board a flight to Aruba and charged with racking up more than $1 million in unpaid tolls and fees. State police say Little Ferry resident Lester Morales was arrested at Newark Liberty International Airport on Thursday. Police say Morales, EAB Transportation LLC, Do It Right Trucking, had 100 trucks going through tolls with delinquent EasyPass automatic payment accounts more than 100 times per day. Morales is being held without bail in Middlesex County Jail and can't be reached there for comment. Yeah, that's a big fee. You can't pay it. You got to spend time in jail. And let's see, where are we at? Yeah, let's make this our last story. What do you think, John?
I think that'd be good.
No, we got one more because this is funny. Passenger screams as Florida alligator leaps into an airboat. Hey, guys, we're going to take an airboat ride. It'll be fun. That's right. We drive around. Alligator, no, there's no way an alligator is going to get in the fucking boat. Miami, a Missouri couple vacationing in Florida had a close encounter with an alligator when it leaped into their airboat and became wedged in the boat's railing.
Whew.
Passengers screamed like pussies.
The problem is, you can't jump out of the boat because then you're in the water with the other
animal. That's right. It's like snakes on a plane. Can't jump off the plane. Passengers screamed as a 30-year-old Tyler Hinderly of Springfield, Missouri, captured the moment in a Facebook Live video posted Tuesday. People will probably watch that one at least. Hinderly tells the Miami Herald he talked his wife, Emerald, into an airboat ride. That was the worst idea of the day. The guide killed the engine and floated close to the bank so people could photograph the gator. But Hindery says the boat got stuck. The guy didn't want to start the engine and scare the gator, so he prepared to push off the bank just as he warned passengers not to make any sudden movements. The gator jumped into the boat.
That's fucking scary.
So the guy says, brings it down. You ever go on one of those airboat rides and tours?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. And my dad used to have a shop. There's a guy who used to build airboats in the shop next to him. I remember when they were kids. But it was like one of these bigger ones. Sometimes you get these ones, it barely looks like there's a fucking floor. You know, if it stops too long, it sinks a little bit. You're like, hey, can we keep moving? So this guy says, hey, let's look at that alligator, everybody. Hey, aren't you a little close? Hey, I'm a professional. I know what I'm doing. What the fuck? There you go.
Yeah, that's that would be pretty scary. I would scream.
Yeah. I wonder if anybody shit themselves. Well, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I want to thank John Levine for joining us from our Atlanta studios.
Always a pleasure.
And Mr. South Florida Fair, by the way. See John out there. If you see this face, some guy who got laid and beard and looking like he's getting a Hummer. I mean, that's what that looks like, you know, when you're in that position on that poster. Your eyes are looking back.
On the billboard, you mean?
Yeah, on the billboard when you're driving down 95 in the turnpike. You're sitting there with that like Hawaiian lay on you, and you got this look like somebody's giving you a smoke 'em slow.
Maybe they were.
Maybe they were. Hey.
Maybe that's why I like the fair so much.
Yeah, and maybe that's why you should too. Anyway, thanks for listening to the show. By the way, tomorrow Peter Leonard should be here and Elgin David. And don't forget that we're gonna have a third show this week. Is Ty Rivera, who's our headliner this week at Wise Guys Comedy Show. Tavolino's Wednesday. If you're in South Florida, come out to Tavolino's at 8:15. I'm your host, along with our feature performer, Viet Hoon from Orlando. Very funny Asian kid. I just said that because I was having a hard time pronouncing Viet Hoon. And special guest, Brad Wallace Scott, out of town. And he'll be here. So it's going to be a fun night. But Ty will be with me, and Ty is a very interesting individual, so stay tuned to the shows this week. And follow us on Twitter, Wake Up Dougie. Follow me on Instagram and on Twitter, Wake Up Dougie. And John?
You can find all my information at johnlevinecomedy.com.
There you go. Thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll see you here tomorrow at the same spot. Take care.
People on Earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled through the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside.
Feel a beam of light hit the ground. To the door, to the world of another time. And on the journey of a thousand lifetimes,